With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got all the essentials for comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style you can count on. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and effortless looks. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
You can hide a lot of things in this world. But body language? Well, that's not one of them if you choose to show it off. And in this chapter, Donna Adelson's face does more talking than her lawyers ever could. We're talking dagger eyes, performance fatigue, and a facial expression that can only be described as resting contempt. It's a nice way of putting it, isn't it? Because when Donna shows up in court, she's not just on trial, she's unraveling in real time. And forgive me for finding enjoyment in this. The segment explores the performance art of narcissistic self-preservation. And if you've ever dealt with a narcissist, maybe you have a narcissist parent, a spouse, child, ex, whatever, you're going to find this interesting. They don't have to be a killer or conspiring killer for you to take away something from this and go, yep, I get it. How Donna is presenting herself, how the jury is reading it, and why her every twitch is a clue. Robin's going to walk us through the behavioral inconsistencies in her reactions, tears that show up too late, outrage that shows up too early, and moments of selective emotional collapse that don't quite track with what's happening in the room. It's all part of the chaos, and jurors are watching every beat of it. We'll also explore how her reactions shift depending on who's on the stand, how she stiffens under authority but perks up when her own family testifies. Robin breaks it down not as drama, but as behavioral data. What does it say when a woman accused of orchestrating her ex-son-in-law's murder seems more offended by being embarrassed than being caught? In Donna's mind, it's not about guilt, it's about image. She's not fighting to prove her innocence. She's fighting to maintain control over a story she's no longer allowed to tell, and it is slipping. So let's walk into that courtroom and sit right behind the jury box, because here, it's not what's said on the stand that matters most. It's what Donna does when she thinks nobody's watching. Let's get into it.
I'm sorry. I just keep laughing because I got images of Bugs Bunny, you know, Somebody Sam in my head. I just can't stop.
Bugs Bunny's texting Donna Adelson. That'd be great. I think we can maybe do that in one of the graphics.
I think she's more like Elmer Fudd. I mean, yeah. It's just her stupidity. I don't think it's any more complex. Again, if you're trying to equate criminal mastermind to Donald Adelson, no, it's not. It's not complex. She's not a complex person. She's a pretty basic person, a pretty basic control narcissist. I think it's just, I mean, how many times, she's like a five-year-old, because the other image that's popping in my mind is, for a little toddler, remember, if you can't see me, it means if I can't see you can't see me.
Yeah.
If I say, we have to erase this so no one knows about it, that means that you must not know about it. I mean, the logic is so flawed. And also, until you've experienced and have done a deep dive on what investigators actually do, you kind of live in disbelief that that's actually what they do. Mm-hmm. You see it in the movies that they'll do these things and find out this information. But who's really going to pay attention? It's me. So I think there's a lot of disbelief going on in her own mind of what the reality of this is. Hey, they're probably only spot checking if they're listening in. They're going to miss this. This will gloss over because we're going to make it sound like a regular conversation. And I'll throw this in here so they won't be paying attention. Mm-hmm. That's not how it works. We listen to everything. I mean, I've sat on wires. They're the most excruciating, long, boring things you have to sit on, because what you have to do when you're sitting a wire is, if the judge says, all right, I'm going to allow you to intrude in someone's privacy. What you have to do is you have to actually do due diligence that, hey, if I got the authority to listen in on everything in your life, I also have to go through and what's called redact things that are not pertinent to the case. And so in order to do that, I'm not allowed to capture information that's not pertinent to that case. And so you actually have an agent always assigned to listen to everything on that line. And I mean, we're talking everything. You sit and listen to that line for hours and hours and hours, as long as that lines up, because you have to go through it and you have to verify to the judge in the court that this was pertinent to the case, this wasn't pertinent to the case. And so absolutely everything is listened to and captured. And so I think that's not what people understand when you there's an overhear. And this includes, you know, just things in the prisons, in jails. Everything's being listened to, because if it's being captured, in order for it to be legally be captured so it can be segregated into relevant and non-relevant, everything's listened to.
Mm-hmm. And she seemed to be clueless about that, even after Charlie was in prison. I mean, the prison phone calls are questionable. Those are coming into play.
I mean, think about it. I mean, you and I get to talk about things that go on behind the scenes of what actually goes on, but not a lot of people see. I mean, do you ever see that on Criminal Minds, that actually you got an agent sitting in a room by himself, you know, for 24 hours a day working shifts just to listen to a line that says nothing 90% of the time? You know, only to get like 5 seconds of this kind of stuff. So that's exactly what goes on behind the scenes.
Sure. I mean, I guess, we deal with it every day. So we hear it, we know how this stuff functions. Right. But the thing is, we're in a world today, though, where if you wanted to find any of this out, you could find it out. Like, it's not difficult to get this in. Just Google what happens here. You know, you'd find us talking about it. You'd find plenty of people talking about it. But that goes to the narcissism of Donna, where she already knows everything. She doesn't need to be told anything, because whatever baseline of information she operates on, from whatever era it's from and from whatever, you know, lack of information she drew it from, that's what it is. Because in her mind, that's Donna's way of thinking. And yeah.
And you can see her lack of intelligence on this too, because we've seen this in so many cases. Whether you're watching it in the movies do it the same way as real life. The more people that know about something, the higher the probability it's going to be found out.
Mm-hmm.
And she blew that completely out of the water right from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
Involved way too many people. I mean, you know, so using intermediaries, multiple intermediaries, ways you're going to pay checks, multiple. I mean, it's not even just one payment. We're talking multiple payments. So like every time you take one action is one more chance for someone to discover it. Mm-hmm. That's just common sense, which she completely lacks. She has zero common sense. I think she heard about the ability to take someone out and said, I know this better than I've ever seen in any movie. I know it better than anything I could ever research, because I'm Donna and you all are idiots. I got this figured out. Let me do it my way. And boom.
She did it her way. Yeah. You now said earlier, you know, she acts like a 5-year-old. I agree, but I think she, in many ways, she still views Charlie as a 5-year-old. And I think a lot of her children she views as 5-year-olds. Or is it something else? Because there's clearly, I'm curious to get your take on her relationship with Charlie. It's unhealthy. It's enmeshed. I'm not saying it goes all the way to like Norman Batesy, like, you know, there's some hanky-panky going on here or something late at night. But there's certainly emotional. This is a term I heard last night, and I found it interesting. And I don't know if it applies here, emotional incest, where the roles that Charlie seemed to be playing for Donna were almost that of what Harvey you would think would be playing.
Codependent relationship.
Charlie, yeah, very, very codependent in ways that a partner should have been, not your son.
Yeah.
And again, it goes so far, but I don't think it goes to like sexual. I don't. As dark and weird as that corner of the universe would be, we don't see any signs of that.
No,
but certainly unhealthy. And I don't think that she's aware of it. I don't think Charlie was aware of it, and we're learning more and more about just how close she was to her son, who's near 40 or was 40 at the time. You know, she's paying his bills still, managing just basic stuff of his life that he should have figured out when he was 18. Yet Don is still doing it while, you know, supposedly being the mastermind of this murder. Speak to that relationship, and what's from a behavioral standpoint do you pick up on there?
So let's go to the basics of human beings. We all want to feel safe.
Yeah.
And so they made each other feel safe. Literally, it's nothing more complex than that. It is definitely, from my optic, a codependent mm-hmm. relationship. And so they're both enabling each other. Mm-hmm. And anytime she probably came up with an idea, thought, or something, he was very responsive to her, probably at a young age, because again, mm-hmm. this is a lifetime of reps. And so when Donna said something to me, Charlie was probably, out of all the kids, the most responsive to the things that she said.
Yeah.
He was probably a rule follower. He was probably someone that didn't buck the system, didn't challenge her in any ways, which made her feel very good. So there's going to be a bond that she has because she likes him best because he's the one that listens to me. And from his point of view, she's the one that's giving me attention because all it is rules. I don't understand why no one else is paying attention to rules. Again, pure conjecture because we don't know, but that's how these things start, is that they both were giving each other exactly what they needed for their entire lifetimes. And so when you're faced with challenges, when you're faced with things to do in life, you're going to revert to your training.
Mm-hmm.
You're trained that here's my son. This is the one I'm closest to. This is the one that listens to me. Everyone else either ignores me, challenges me, or doesn't do the things at the same tempo I want them to do it at. He is probably very responsive to her his entire life. And so he's now he has reps. He's got behavior patterns of constantly doing that with her. And so when mom comes up with this idea of doing X, Y, and Z, he's like, all right, this is what mom says. You know, I'll make it happen, because he's been in the role of making things happen for her his entire life, because she only does it because she cares so deeply.
You know what they say? When people show you who they are, believe them. And Donna Adelson, well, she's showing us plenty. Robin nailed it. The performance doesn't lie. Fake fatigue, weaponized fragility, the little I might faint act when the testimony gets too hot. But let's be real. That's not shock. That's strategy. That's a narcissist hitting the panic button when the script starts slipping out of their hands. The most telling moments, not the cross-examinations, not the wiretaps, it's Donna's face when she's not being addressed directly. When the agent she thought she could outsmart takes the stand, when the bump is dissected in detail, and when her kids start to drift away. That's when the real Donna shows up, and let me tell you, she's not the composed matriarch who just cared too much. She's someone who's furious a spotlight isn't as flattering as it used to be. Story isn't as easy to tell and walk away from. This is courtroom theater in its truest sense, but the problem for Donna is the jury isn't watching the actors, they're watching for the cracks. And the cracks are getting deeper with every eye roll, every dramatic sigh, every too late tear. Up next, we'll close our series with the big one, the power structure behind it all, the mother-son bond that crossed the line from love into control. The emotional programming that may have turned Charlie from a rule follower into an accomplice, and the chilling possibility that Donna didn't just pull the string, she built the whole damn puppet. We're going to dig into it in our next conversation with Robin. If you want to hear it, press subscribe right now, wherever you're listening to us or watching us. Search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi on YouTube or on any podcast platform. Press subscribe. Do it on both so you don't miss us. You can take us along wherever you go. And let us know your thoughts in the comments. What do you think's going on here with Donna? Are we completely off? Is she just one totally misunderstood, loving mother that cared too much? I'm going to say something here. If you're feeling that way, you might have a lot in common with Donna. Just saying. Tell me your thoughts in the comment section. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.